All right, Bob, let's switch gears a little bit. We're joined by Baseball Hall of Famer Cal Ripken joins us here on the Spano and Black Attack. Good morning, Cal. I'm Joe Spano. He's Bob Black. It's really great to have you aboard.
Yeah, good morning. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, so I'll overcome and I'll start yelling so you can hear me better.
Well, that's usually how it works. I can't hear you, so I'll talk louder. But before we jump into the world of baseball, let's talk about some of the great work you're doing with Kellogg's. Tell us a little bit about that program and everything that you're doing with them.
Yeah, well, the program, as you know, baseball just started, and we're celebrating baseball. Kellogg's and MLB is celebrating baseball in a cool way. It's a campaign that celebrates the concept of never miss a game. I guess I'm the ideal person to deliver that because I didn't hardly miss ever a game. But it's really to celebrate those stories where what lengths a great fan will go to not to miss a game. And so we're encouraging all the people out there that if you have a story, to share it with us. Go to hashtag never miss a game. Tell us about your story. For example, I think we had a couple stories shared yesterday where a father said he almost missed the birth of his own child because he stepped out for a few minutes to see the extra innings of a playoff game and then almost missed it. So those are the kind of stories we're looking for. And, you know, when you share them, you're eligible for some great prizes, baseball tickets, flat screens, and a real grand prize that is yet to be determined. It's still be kept a mystery right now, but it's a prize that all baseball fans will love. So we're just trying to get the word out there to celebrate the baseball in this unique way.
It's not a lifetime supply of Frosted Flakes, is it?
It could be a lifetime supply of Frosted Flakes. I think I can make that happen.
It'd be good if you have a kid. You know, Cal, you're stepping off the stage, and I mean, you stepped off the stage, and it was universally respected as you being one of the greats in the history of the game. You're now having another guy step off the stage who played the same position. Talk about your perspective on the career of Derek Jeter and what he has meant to Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Derek Jeter is, he's going to get a lot of fun celebrations this year, and he's very deserving of it. I was a little surprised that he chose to retire this year. I thought he was going to maybe test his body and some of the injuries this year and kind of make a determination as that went on. But he made the decision before spring training. He was ready. And everybody's going to get a chance to say goodbye to him. But more importantly, I think he's going to find that this is going to bring closure, you know, to his decision by having the ability to say goodbye on his terms. So wonderful player, wonderful clutch player, has handled himself really well. Great example for all of Major League Baseball. And, you know, it's going to be sad because he's not going to be there anymore after this year. But we have a chance to really recognize and celebrate him this year.
You know, Cal, you're always identified with the streak. And you talked about the streak, never missing a game. Do you think in some ways that may have hurt things on a day-to-day basis, unlike so many of your contemporaries who would take the occasional day off and get some rest? There was no rest for Cal Ripken Jr. Did that cause you at times to wear down in the season, and did maybe it hurt your numbers and hurt your production? Speculate a little bit on that. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if I was making a selfish case for your career, then hand-picking off days, you know, 10 or 12 off days, the guys that you had trouble hitting, would definitely make my batting average go up. It would probably keep my psyche a little better, and maybe my numbers overall over 20 years, you know, could be better. But the whole purpose and the whole reason that he played on the streak is you're part of a team that has a challenge each and every day. And I always thought my job was to come to the ballpark to try to meet that challenge. Now, it's the manager's job to determine who plays and who doesn't. It's not mine, but the manager has created that thing called the streak, and I thought it was the right approach. But certainly, from a selfish standpoint, I could have hand-manipulated my days off, I would imagine, and consequently, my numbers could have been a little bit better, but that's never been what's important to me.
I don't even mean from the standpoint of making the numbers better and kind of manipulating. And I'm talking about getting that occasional blow and being stronger and ready to go and maybe a more productive Cal Ripken in the dog days of August. Just a thought process and something I'm wondering about.
Yeah, here's the reality is whether you play 150 games or 162 games, you're mentally challenged. And the hard part about playing every day is the mental challenge. And so if you need, if you're the type of person that needs a day off or needs a break, and so you can restart and recharge the mental side, because physically, what's it going to give you? You're not going to become refreshed. You're not saving your body. There's only one day that you're 100% anybody that plays baseball, and that's the first day of spring training. It's just the nature of what you do. So I always felt that the answers were on the field. The answers weren't in the cage or weren't, you know, taking two or three days off and getting your mind right. The answer was going out there and trying to work at it, and that was just the way that I went about it. So who knows whether a different path would have had different results. I don't know.
Let's talk about this year's version of the Baltimore Orioles. A bit of a step back last year. The pitching wasn't as consistent as it had been the previous year when they made the unexpected run. But the team itself, I think, has a lot of talent. Talk about that a little bit and what you expect them to do this year.
Yeah, I think the best thing you could say about any team leaving spring training, are you a legitimate playoff contender or not? And I think the Orioles have, they surprised a couple years ago. I don't think anybody thought they were a legitimate playoff contender, but then they made that run. Last year, the expectations were to be a playoff contender, and I think they were. They pushed forward. The season will determine, you know, you making the playoffs. And this year, they are a playoff caliber team. I mean, every team, I think, in the division of the American League East has a chance to make the playoffs. And so they've improved their depth in their starting staff, which was important. You know, Ubaldo Jimenez is a really interesting addition because he has that number one caliber stuff. And if everything goes right with him and he pitches the way that he's capable of pitching, that'll have a really nice impact on the rest of the young staff that they have there. They got some good arms, and they have some really good regular everyday players. And so I expect them to play well and contend for a playoff spot. And it feels good in Baltimore again to have that that expectation, that feeling from the get-go.
Final one from me before we let you run, Cal. Vlad Guerrero retires. You look at that storied career, not a hint of allegation as far as PED use. When you look at his body of work, do you see first ballot Hall of Famer?
I had trouble hearing you. Who are we talking about?
Vlad Guerrero. His recent retirement, first ballot Hall of Famer, yes or no?
I'm not dodging the question, but it's a very difficult thing. I was judged, and I was put into the Hall of Fame, and there's certain criteria. And my decision, when you look at the Hall of Fame, it's like who had been in the All-Star game, who dominated in their era. You know, I think Donnie Mattingly should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, a guy that I played with, that certainly, but the mark against him is that he didn't play long enough. So there's so many of these small things. I'd probably be an easy one. I think you look at the guys that dominated in their era, and I like him as a candidate. And so I'd have to really look hard. I'd have to go back and look at his numbers and all that kind of stuff to be a responsible voter. I'm glad I'm not, but in my opinion, I think he probably is.
Cal, just give us the 411 as you go out the door on the Kellogg's Never Miss a Game program.
Yeah, I think you said, God, this is really difficult. I apologize. It's difficult to hear you. The Never Miss a Game campaign is really just that. It celebrates all the baseball fans out there that go to great lengths never to miss a game. And we want you to share your story on Twitter or Facebook, hashtag Never Miss a Game. And there's a lot of great prizes that you could win. It's a fun campaign. It's a good way to celebrate baseball.
Thanks, Cal. We appreciate the couple minutes. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much. I'll get a better phone next time.
Good enough, Cal. That was Cal Ripken Jr., Hall of Famer, joining us here on Span on Black, talking a little baseball and a little Kellogg's. And first prize, perhaps, is a lifetime supply of Frosted Flakes.
Not the worst thing in the world.
Which we... If you're raising a kid, it'll be wired for sound on all those Frosted Flakes. But we'll step out now, take a quick break. When we come back, Bob, I'll have you address, maybe we'll get more into Vlad Guerrero's Hall of Fame candidacy on the other side, other things in baseball, before we bounce it around throughout the world of sports.